about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Kind of a Thanksgiving surprise.
This is gonna be a really special Thanksgiving.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving,
ooh,
Thanksgiving.
Turkey
things are gonna happen. Gobble, gobble.
Light meat, dark meat, all will be carved.
Lucky for us, the Indians never said, let's round up all these pilgrims and send them back where they belong.
But this year, there will be no leftovers.
Must be Thanksgiving in here, because somebody wants some stuffing.
You'll come home for the holidays in a body bag.
Oh, this looks fantastic. I can't wait to poop this out.
And now...
Hey, who's going to get the Thanksgiving dump trophy this year?
You are!
Dad's going to get it!
Who else?
Our feature presentation.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad I don't live at that house. That's just
I'd
disgusting.
Give anything to live at that house.
I know you would.
That's the best. Where's your pride in your accomplishments, Lisa? Come
right.
on. You got to take pride in whatever it is you're good at.
I guess that's true.
Got to own it. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 27th of November.
So what's going on? So you're telling me the next time we do a show, it's going to be December.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Wow. And we'll be looking at the weekend ahead will be Acoustic Christmas.
That's correct.
And then the weekend after that will be the Miss Double D Patrick.
That's
yes.
correct.
Yeah. It's all happening. It's all happening. Hey, there's a website. You guys might have heard about this. It gets profiled on television from time to time called JohnTV.com. Does that sound familiar? You know
nope.
what that is? This is a – they're based in Oklahoma City, and it's a website where they do everything they can to expose prostitution, in particular the Johns, the men who pay for sex.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's their mission. And they're in the news this week because a UPS driver decided to spend his lunch break having sex with a prostitute in the back of his UPS truck.
All right.
And I'm so puzzled by this story because the hooker, who is a woman, by the way, who's on probation for another prostitution case right now, by the way. This is in Oklahoma City. She is, let me see, I think she's 37 years old, and she has a website. And she posts photos on her website of her in, you know, sexy time and poses and whatnot. And she posted a photo of her in the UPS driver's shirt in the back of the truck.
What?
You can't see the bottom part, but it looks like she's, you know, having sex with him.
What happened to discretion?
Yeah, why would he ever let that get posted?
How did a photo get taken? Because clearly she's not taking this picture because you can see both of her hands are going down.
Oh, so
you know,
she
down.
Is.
So if he took the picture, how did she get it? Why, if you're hiring a hooker for the back of your UPS truck, why would you ever take a picture of her or let her take a picture of what's going on?
So think of that conversation. She's like, oh, I want to wear your shirt. And then he takes the picture and she says, that's a great shot. Will you send that to me?
And she right. gives him
but maybe he just,
her information.
Maybe he just took for granted that she had as much to lose as he does if this were to get out. So she never would.
Yeah, maybe because it is illegal. And why would she admit to it or something? I don't know.
But I guess just the photo alone doesn't, there's nothing illegal about that.
Well, what happened is, you know, I guess there's a certain amount of GPS information, location data on a digital photograph, unless
sure.
you have all those settings turned off.
Sure.
So JohnTV.com forwarded that to UPS, and of course they are investigating because they can tell probably pretty close to which truck it was, you know what I mean, in
right.
which location, where was it. So they're saying they're going to fully investigate, and, you know, if it turns out that that's what happened, and it looks like it is, then the driver is probably going to lose his job.
Come on. Come on. That's not what made America great.
It's not. But on the other hand, and this may be stupid, I get a lot of packages from UPS.
Right.
I don't want this woman sitting on it, bare butt, you know?
You don't want to have to blacklight it.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I don't want to have to blacklight it. Exactly. So anyway, that's your What Could Brown Do For You story for today, just in time. For your holiday deliveries, please enjoy.
Thank
I've
you.
Got a package for you in the back, honey. Huh?
Exactly.
Love it. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why would you? Why would you do that?
It's funny. Brad Williams will be here.
Yes, indeed.
Comedian. Love him. We have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have the movie beat because it is Friday, Friday. it's the Friday of this week, which is Wednesday.
Right.
We have Kerry Byron from Mythbusters talking about Pumpkin Chunkin', which is basically them launching a pumpkin as far as it can be. And we have some, like to say, we're experienced in that.
We do.
That's true.
Now, did you do your usual hard-hitting diligence on researching the Pumpkin Chunkin' yesterday, Kevin, ahead of this interview today?
I did not yet, no.
They are close to a mile hurling a pumpkin right now with the devices that they've come up with. They're almost at a mile to throw an 8 to 10-pound pumpkin.
Yeah, but theirs is 8 to 10. We were doing 40 and 50-pound pumpkins.
I know we were. But still, think about the kind of device you'd have to come up with to throw a pumpkin a mile. It's pretty incredible. This is about the 30th year they've been doing this big festival in Delaware.
Someone catch it in their mouth? Or how does that
I
work?
I don't think that's ours. Oh. Kerry is a part of that Mythbusters team that covers it, and it looks like it's going to be amazing. Apparently, I'm new to this program, but apparently this is a Thanksgiving weekend tradition that they air this on Mythbusters, and it's one of their most popular episodes. So it sounds like a lot of fun.
We started doing that with the world's largest pumpkin for, I don't know, 10 or 11 years in a row down in Irvine. Yeah. And, we never got any further than, what?
I don't know.
200 yards?
Yeah, probably about that, yeah. But like you said, we're throwing much, much bigger pumpkins, too.
Jimmy Pardo will be here talking about his fifth annual Pardcast-a-thon fundraiser.
He is never not funny.
And Ralph Lawler, the voice of the Clippers, who won by, 30 last night? It's got to be boring for a play-by-play guy, right? That in baseball. So we'll talk to him this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz beat now. The Naked and the Famous on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 551.
Patrice sure is into listing things in his songs, isn't he?
Yeah, he does like
the noodles and the chow mein and the turkey and the stuffing.
Takes up a lot of space.
Yeah, he likes to list things.
Hey, what's going on with the King? We asked the King to try to get us an audience with Patrice, the man behind that song and Friday and Chinese food and all the others. What's the latest on that?
Like he listens to us or does what we ask.
Relatively sure he stopped working about 6 months ago.
I think you might be right.
He still comes in and acts like it, but I don't think he's doing much.
Okay. Well, maybe 2014 will be our year to get together with Patrice.
Sure.
It is Thanksgiving Wednesday, 5:52. Rob is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, things just keep getting better for those of us who are looking forward to seeing Anchorman 2 and the return of Ron Burgundy.
Love it.
You mean everyone?
They have just moved up the release date of the film.
Is that right?
Yeah. They moved up to December the 18th on a Wednesday due to Paramount Pictures understanding the enormous anticipation for this film. So they're going to cash in and get a couple days jump on its release.
It was going to be Friday. Christmas.
Oh, it was going to be Friday the 20th.
Okay.
Now it'll be Wednesday the 18th.
Fantastic.
Check that out. And this is the studio, by the way, that did not want to make a second film. They drug their feet for the longest time.
That's right. It took a long time.
Despite Adam McKay, and Will desperately trying to get that off the ground. And now they're like, oh, we have a hit on our hands. Who could have seen this coming? Everyone else. By the way, we mentioned that Ron Burgundy will be doing the color commentary for the curling event.
Yes.
In Canada on the 1st of December. Well, good news also is that Ron Burgundy will be the special guest anchor of SportsCenter on Thursday, December the 5th on ESPN. Ron Burgundy will be coming to ESPN Studios, guest hosting the 6 p.m. SportsCenter.
Love it.
So we get to see Ron do some sports. That should be fun. The long national nightmare is finally over. Dancing with the Stars had its finale last night.
Yay! That's still on?
I know it seems like it was going longer than the Gulf War.
Yeah.
But they finally awarded the coveted Mirror Ball Trophy for the 17th season. It all came down to three contestants. Corbin Bleu, Amber Riley, and Jack Osborne were the three finalists. When it was all said and done, when the smoke cleared, when the shrapnel finally settled, when the bloody bodies were...
It's not an actual fight, Ralph.
...pulled from the battlefield, Amber Riley was left alone.
Yeah!
She, of course, is the...
She does good work.
Big girl from Glee.
Oh, okay.
Mercedes from Glee.
Not that this was difficult, but you'll recall when the cast was announced, Ralph, on this very show, she was my pick to win.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So I'm actually pleased to hear that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I think if you make a prediction on the air, there ought to be some sort of outcome, whether you're right or wrong, at the end.
She was my pick to win, too.
I didn't remember you saying that on the air, but
no,
congratulations if
Thank
that's
you.
True.
Beat Victor first!
First.
Hey, I'm always wrong on Dancing with the Stars, so once in a great while, if one works out, I'm happy to hear it.
I didn't know there was a Dancing with the Stars thing. I didn't know we usually made picks.
We talk about it usually when the cast is, you know, we talk about who's got the dance background, who's walking in there with a big advantage over everybody else.
When Amber accepted the trophy, she said, I want to let women of all sizes out there know. You can do whatever you put your mind to. It doesn't matter what size you are, what color you are. You can do whatever, whatever, whatever you put your mind to. Ladies and gentlemen, Amber Riley. As long as you're on a hit TV series, you can do anything you want to, ladies, despite your color
that
or your size.
Fat.
As long as you're famous and rich. That's all that really matters. And speaking of rich and famous, Lenny Kravitz had an interesting upbringing. Here's what his childhood was like. He tells Us Weekly magazine, he used to live across the street from Joe Namath.
Really?
So Joe would come out and play catch with him, would throw the football around with Joe Namath in his neighborhood.
Joe Namath was quarterback of the NFL.
He won the Super Bowl in 1969. And then he was a quarterback throughout the early part of the 70s. A huge star besides being a quarterback, too. Just a movie star and a TV personality. He was the first really big superstar quarterback in terms of the media hype and the NFL.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Struggling. I want to kiss you. He, of course, was quarterback for the New York Jets, legendary. Broadway Joe Namath, he was known as. So he's tossing the ball around with Joe. When he was five, legendary jazz band leader Duke Ellington taught him how to play piano.
Wow.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know. He's like Forrest Gump.
He is.
Now, his mom was in show business, right? Wasn't she a TV actress, Ralph?
I don't know your answer, sir.
All right. And I think maybe, I was wondering maybe if he grew up with famous people because he had a, you know, had an aunt or something.
And Jonah Hill's dad is currently his business manager. So he's just surrounded by
that is weird.
Famous people in every aspect of his life. Well, nuts.
And he's great in the Hunger Games, too, right? He's one of the actors in the Hunger Games.
He is. Sure. He is.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Allison Pill from Newsroom. She's 28 years old today.
Really?
Hey, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd give her a bill. Allison Pill. I mean, she's whiny and annoying on that show, but she's pretty. Really? Wow. You guys are a tough room. Allison Pill?
Lisa,
what do you think?
Really hit and miss.
Yeah,
mostly miss. Yeah.
She looks kind of like a waif who sleeps in a bus station.
When I see her and she looks pretty, I'm always surprised.
Me too. That's how I feel. That's so funny. You hit the nail right on the head. Because usually she looks sort of washed out and a little heroin addict-y sometimes.
Well, her Africa haircut didn't do her any favors, no, that's for sure.
Even beforehand, the blonde hair used to be sort of limp and lifeless and stringy.
Yeah.
So in other words, she's a girl who, if everything's going for her.
Yes.
You see her at a party, you go... Ah, she's good looking. Yeah. But the next morning, big disappointment.
Next morning when you wake up in that bus station, you do not want to,
Maybe. I think maybe we take that bell away.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, just an update because I had to know. Roxy Roker is Lenny Kravitz's mom. She was
the
actress best known for playing Helen Willis on The Jeffersons. Yes,
wow.
And his father was an NBC television news producer. So maybe that's how they lived in the ritzy neighborhood.
There you go. Allison Pill's 28 years old today. Jaleel White. My good buddy, Steve Urkel.
He's your good buddy?
Yeah. We did a pilot together. He's a nice guy. 37 years old today. Charlotte Copley. What a talented actor this cat is.
No
40 years old today. Michael Vartan. Remember him from Alias? Michael Vartan? We all thought he would be the bust-out superstar from that series.
Is he?
He was dreamy, and the ladies loved him. He did that movie with Jennifer Lopez, the monster-in-law, with Jane Fonda, and they were grooming him for stardom. And then Bradley Cooper, who played the annoying Will on that show,
swooped
all those years ago, just swooped in and just took it all away.
I would have put any amount of money down on Vartan being the star, and we'd never hear from Bradley Cooper again.
Me too. Robin Givens is 49 years old today. Actor Fisher Stevens turns 50. William Fichtner, he is 57 years old today. Talk about your great actors. TV personality Bill Nye, he's the science guy.
He is.
Now, was he syndicated or was he on the network?
No, I'm not sure.
Bill Nye, 58 years old today. And director Catherine Bigelow, she celebrates her 62nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting batch of movies opening up this weekend. A little something for everybody. All right. Here's what you have to look forward to. Let's say you love South Africa.
Okay, well, I love South Africa.
Well, then who do you love more than legendary Nelson Mandela? Then, on top of it, when he's played by Idris Elba, come on.
Yeah.
That's a 1-2 punch right there. Something for people who love freedom, and something for the ladies.
That should be their marketing campaign.
They love the BBC. You know what I'm saying? Not talking about the network. Idris Elba stars as Nelson Mandela in the film Long Walk to Freedom. Story of Nelson's life journey from his childhood in a rural village through to his inauguration as the first democratically elected president of South Africa. What an amazing life the man led. And this, by all accounts, is a great depiction of his tremendous accomplishments. Here's a scene from the film where Nelson, played by Idris Elba, is talking to his wife, Winnie, discussing loyalty.
Do you want me to betray our people?
Do I betray our people?
You have been away a long time.
What does that mean, I've been away? Does that mean now you can terrorize people? The burning, the necklacing, that has to stop, Winnie.
Do you realize there's a war out there? The people are angry.
We are all angry. I am angry. You are angry. But you must show loyalty. Loyalty, Winnie Mandela.
Yeah, Winnie.
Dude was in prison for 27 years. His wife could get off his neck.
Seriously.
Right?
Also opening up this weekend, Old Boy. Spike Lee remakes this classic film. Starring Josh Brolin, Elizabeth Olsen, Samuel L. Jackson, and birthday boy Charlton Copley. Boy, what a great cast. This looks like a very interesting film. The story of a man who's obsessed with vengeance because he was kidnapped and locked into solitary confinement for 20 years without a reason. I think you'd want to know why, wouldn't you?
Just that? Just 20 years without reason?
Yeah.
Huh.
Here's a scene where Josh Brolin discovers that Marie Olsen has read his letters, and let's see how he feels about that.
I apologize for reading your letters.
You didn't call the police?
No, I didn't.
Why?
I believe you.
Why?
I believe that you've been locked up for a long time.
Don't touch me. What if I thought you knew too much, huh? Reading my letters. What if I felt like I needed to kill you right now?
Then I suppose I'd be dead.
Ah!
Intense.
I said it before, and I say it again. Josh Brolin should have been the next Batman.
Yeah.
Boy, he's got that intensity. He's got that vibe. Black Nativity also opens up this weekend. Story of a streetwise teenager from Baltimore who's been raised by a single mother. He travels to New York City to spend the Christmas holiday with his estranged relatives, and everyone learns an important lesson about life, love, and Christmas.
Sure.
What's wrong?
We've been evicted? I thought you were going to work something out with the bank. I thought we could win it back.
I've been trying. It's hard getting that much together.
So we got to move?
Thanks, Dad.
Where are we going to live, Ma? Why didn't you tell me? I can help you.
Help me. We got $5,000. That's what they want before Christmas.
So you just gonna let them throw us out on the street?
Usually I set up the clips, but that's a scene featuring Jennifer Hudson. Jennifer Hudson plays the mother of the teenager, and Forest Whitaker, Angela Bassett, and Mary J. Blige also star
wow.
in the film.
What a cast.
Here's a scene where the kid finds out he's going
to
be...
You want me to go back?
No, no, it's all fine. Right. I think everyone gets it.
Why is everyone bitching at everyone in the movie clips this week, Ralph?
Because life is turmoil, Bean. Because conflict is drama. Learn! Here's something lovely and fun, and you'll like this, Bean, because it's animation. I know how much you love animation. I know how
My
upset
favorite.
You were about Brian the Dog passing, so I can imagine. You're looking forward to seeing Frozen from our good friends at Disney. Critics are saying this is one of the best animated films to come out of Disney in a long, long time. Frozen is the story of a beautiful young lady named Anna, whose sister Elsa is evil and has icy powers that have trapped her kingdom in an eternal winter. So she has to team up with a dreamy prince and fight through the Mount Everest-like conditions in order to find her sister and convince her to return sunshine and spring to her kingdom. Along the way, they run into a wacky little snowman named Olaf, played by Josh Gad, who's always very funny. Kristen Bell stars as Anna. And here's a scene where Olaf the snowman first meets Anna.
Hi, everyone. I'm Olaf, and I like warm hugs.
Olaf? That's right. Olaf.
And you are...
I'm Anna.
And who's the funky-looking donkey over there?
That's Sven.
Uh-huh. And who's the reindeer?
Sven.
Okay. Make things easier for me. Oh, look at him trying to kiss my nose. I like you, too.
Yeah, the reindeer's trying to eat his carrot nose off his face. It looks charming.
It does.
Yeah. Olivia hasn't been taken to her first movie yet. I think maybe
this might be,
might be the one. Yeah, right. Might take her to see that. And lastly, Homefront. Oh, this looks intense. Jason Statham's in the movie.
Jason Statham.
Yeah, Jason Statham. Plays a former DEA agent who moves his family to a quiet town, just trying to live his life, not bother nobody.
Did he move in next to a drug dealer?
Well, Kevin, actually, in this small town, he does tangle with a local meth lord. James Franco.
What are the chances?
Plays the local meth drug 100%.
Lord.
Yeah, if you're in any sort of line of work in law enforcement, whatever you used to do,
yep.
If you move to a small town, you will find that in the small town.
Most cases in the next door house.
It's crazy how it works out.
Uh-huh.
Winona Ryder and Kate Bosworth also star in this film. Wow. Here's a scene where Jason Statham lays things out for Gator, the local meth drug lord played by James Franco.
Yeah, we've never been properly introduced, you and me.
Well, I won't ask your name. I personally believe a reputation's the most important thing. It's pissed off some of the locals.
Look, I don't want any more problems.
Okay. Anything else you're thinking hard about? Because I can smell the wood burning.
If someone has an issue with me, keep it there. I don't want my kid involved.
I'm a little lost.
You see the house? See, that's my house. Anyone who comes around again will find me standing in it.
Ah! I wonder if there's going to be a battle between these two guys.
Jason Statham only has that one gear, which is seething intensity.
I'll take it. I agree. Every day, twice on Sundays.
I love it. I don't want him to change.
I don't want him to change a thing. I love Jason Statham, and this looks like, it does look a little formulaic,
sure.
Looks a little paint by the numbers, but for this kind of movie with revenge and gunplay and good guys and bad guys, I think Homefront's a pretty good bet. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
So tomorrow's Thanksgiving, guys. Two traditions are happening. There's the Detroit Lions-Dallas Cowboys football game that's been going on forever. And now for the sixth year in a row on the Science Channel, you can tune in and watch the crew from Mythbusters do the pumpkin chunkin'. We're very excited to catch up on this. Carrie Bryan, one of the co-hosts of the show, joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Carrie, how are you, my dear?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
First of all, confirm or deny, there is now a state called Delaware?
Seriously?
That's
Delaware
for reals?
Home of the pumpkin chunkin' out in Bridgeville, Delaware. Yes.
Explain to people who maybe aren't familiar with the pumpkin chunkin' just how huge this event has become.
You know, out in Delaware, it's actually bigger than NASCAR. Thousands of people show up to watch this competition every year. I mean, it is insane. People from all over the country spend the entire year and hundreds of thousands of dollars putting together these battle-sized machines. We're talking catapults, trebuchets, air cannons. They drag them all out to Bridgeville, Delaware to fling a pumpkin as far as they can go. And we're talking almost a mile, if not a mile. You'll have to see if we actually broke that distance this year.
That's the distance that you've never broken up until this year, correct? That everybody was going for.
Well, you're going to have to watch to see if we actually pulled it off.
All right.
But I mean, we've been getting closer and closer, and it's really crazy. I mean, people from all walks of life are jumping out there. I've met, you know, veterinarians, people who work in garages, NASA engineers. I mean, it's really just a strange passion, but it's beautiful to watch.
What size is the pumpkin?
You know, if they're not huge. They've actually, over the years, have refined the strains of pumpkin, and people will swear by the ones that they grow. They're not like the kind of pumpkins you put in pies. They're almost solid, and they're about the size of a cannonball.
A cannonball, all right.
I mean, it's unbelievable when you talk about the dedication to detail that your contestants have. I mean, you're talking about people who are spending part of their year trying to figure out how to grow a more aerodynamic pumpkin so that they can throw it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, your Mother Nature will play tricks on you. If your pumpkin's not perfect, it's going to explode in the air because there's a lot of energy going into the pumpkin.
It's going to explode
in the air. That's a disqualify. That's a DQ right there. You only got 3 tries.
What do you win if you go out to the pumpkin chunkin' and you throw your pumpkin the furthest?
Well, this is the coolest thing. It's all bragging rights. This is actually a nonprofit organization. They raise money for St. Jude's and about 5 other charities, scholarships. And when you go out there, it is like carnival for rednecks. I mean, it's funnel cakes and jumpy houses, and there's a beauty pageant and rock concerts. And I've met congressmen, governors. I've met, like, everybody comes to the pumpkin chunkin' who's on the East Coast during this time. It's crazy.
So some of the people you said spend over $100,000.
You know what? There's machines out there that are almost $1 million that they've put into it, because between the trailer, getting it out there, and the machines and stuff, I mean, they are not trivial machines. Especially when you see someone like the centrifugal machines, they're the engineering that goes into creating these machines that are the size of buildings so that they can get an arm that's on a vertical axis spinning between 200 and 250 RPMs, all to fling a pumpkin, you know, thousands and thousands of feet. It is intense.
I love, like, what Bean said, where they're trying to, you know, grow the perfect pumpkin. Then they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars all. And then if you were to ask them why, they would go, to win. Like, there's no real prize. Bragging rights. That's it.
Yeah, and you know, they're all so sweet, though. You talk to them, and most of them started out doing this just for the charity, and you get swept up in the competition.
Wow. We are talking right now about the Pumpkin Chunkin', which is going to air tomorrow night for the 6th year in a row on the Science Channel. This is the voice of co-host Carrie Bryant on the phone with us. You know, many, many, many years ago, Carrie, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we used to have a get-together around Halloween time every year for our listeners who built catapults. I remember one year the engineers over at USC built this amazing catapult, and we were throwing it a few hundred feet or something like that. I just can't believe how far, if you want to call it a sport, it has come in the years since we stopped doing it. Some of these devices have names that I don't even understand what they are. Like, what's an onager? That's a type. That's not a catapult. What's an onager?
Oh, that's named after the guy that actually created it. The names are hilarious. There's Yankee Siege 2 and Chucky and United Slingdom, and they get serious. They're flying banners. They're dressed in all sorts of, like, medieval regalia. I've seen, you know, a guy out there with bagpipes and his full Scottish kilt. And, I mean, it is a wild carnival-style event.
I love this kind of nonsense.
I really do. It is definitely nonsense. All right, it's going to air tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on Science Channel. It looks like a super fun night. And, Carrie, I know you kind of fell into it. It wasn't your planned life, but my God, being on the Mythbusters, what a great job. How much fun must that be?
I mean, we've created such a weird world for ourselves in this, like, science-based reality. I love it. It wasn't my dream job to start out with. It was my day job, but it became my dream job.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great time on the TV tomorrow night, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Carrie. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin DeBean Show at 6:54. We have a lot of events during the year, a lot of concerts. We have the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Do we ever.
We have the Almost Acoustic Christmas, which is coming up in about 2 weeks. We have singles parties. We have all kinds of different events. And if you would like to attend all of those with us, and you can be Miss Double December, you got to be 21 or older. But we are having our pageant again. And today at 10 is the deadline, this morning at 10 a.m.
Let's go, girls. Start snapping those pictures this morning.
So you got to be 21 or over. You complete your submission. You send two photos of yourself. You enter, and then we pick the top 10. And when we get back after Thanksgiving, we'll announce the top 10.
And then you, I think you're putting wrestle Lisa May for the championship, right?
I think we're going with Jell-O.
Is Jell-O this year?
Jell-O this year, for a change of pace.
Mm-hmm. I'm a pudding guy from way back.
That's what
Guys,
I hear.
That's not pudding. Are the chicks that are hot enough to be Miss Double December even awake at 7 o'clock in the morning? I say no.
It's very possible they're not.
That is a problem.
But if you know somebody now to go to bed. They're just getting in now, so it's okay.
But if you know somebody that would love to do this, you could also get their attention because it is this morning at 10. That's when we wrap up submissions.
Go to KROQ.com for all the details. Hey, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat Now on a Wednesday.
Well, the Beastie Boys' war against little girls is over, and they've won. Congratulations, Beastie Boys. You've crippled a generation of children. Well done. Well done, gentlemen. Of course, they were battling with a company named Goldie Blocks. Goldie Blocks believes that little girls shouldn't just be given baby dolls and Barbies and things that are pink and soft and fuzzy, but also tries to encourage them to look into engineering and physics and things like that.
Stripping.
But they can't do that without blatantly stealing somebody's song?
So what they did was they put together this little viral ad, and they rewrote the tune Girls, the Beastie Boys song Girls, which was about, of course, you know, doing the laundry and clean the dishes and stuff. And they turned it to like, Girls to Build the Spaceship, Girls to Code the New App, Girls to Grow Up Knowing. Well, it turns out the Beastie Boys don't want any music of theirs ever involved in any sort of advertising. And so there was a big lawsuit threatened and a battle back and forth. And Goldie Blocks released a statement on their website this morning apologizing to Adam and Mike, the surviving members of the Beastie Boys, and announcing they have changed their video. They put a new song, an instrumental, underneath the video, and they are willing to stop their lawsuit, which was a countersuit saying they had fair use of the song. If in exchange, the Beastie Boys will pull back their lawsuit and no longer threaten them with any legal action. We don't want to spend our time fighting legal battles. We want to inspire the next generation, writes Goldie Blocks. We want to be good role models, and we want to be your friends. They talk about how they're such big Beastie Boy fans. That's the reason they used the song in the first place. So they're hoping that this will all go away. And the Beastie Boys have not yet responded, but everyone's assuming this will be the end of it. Although the surviving members of the Beastie Boys said they liked the message of the parody, they have resolved not to allow any of their music in ads because of Adam Yauch's will, which states that at no time should the Beastie's music ever be used for advertising.
And they've been pretty consistent with that, too,
through
the years.
Yeah, that's a firm belief of theirs, and you can't blame them for that. So Mike Diamond and Adam Horovitz, the surviving Beastie Boys, said from now on they're just going to go out on playgrounds and push little girls down.
That's their official statement?
Yeah, that's how they're going to get their jollies.
Odd.
Congratulations to Jennifer Love Hewitt. Jayla Hugh had both a baby and got married this week. Boy, that baby came fast.
No kidding.
Because you can't have a baby until you get married, right? That's how it works?
That's how it works, yeah.
Science.
A rep for Jennifer told Us Weekly magazine she delivered her first child, a baby girl, yesterday. And she also has secretly married her boyfriend, Brian Hallisay, who she's been dating for the past 19 months.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
No, that is not correct.
Okay.
The baby's name? Autumn.
Autumn?
I did a stripper named Autumn once.
I was going to say. I set her up for life on the pole.
Did.
Oh, you did really?
Yeah, I really did. Her name was Autumn. She was very lovely, and she was very talented. And the name Autumn automatically makes me think, welcome to the stage, Autumn! Autumn coming up to the stage, everybody. Get your dollar bills out, fellas. These girls aren't working for applause.
That was Minka Kelly's name, remember, in 500 Days of Summer, too. So Autumn's a hot name.
Hot.
Speaking of hot, Malin Ackerman, she's single again. She has separated from her longtime husband, Roberto Zincone. They've been together for over a decade. Apparently, the relationship is now over. Here's a little piece of interesting trivia. Early on in their relationship, they used to communicate solely through a English to Italian dictionary because he spoke no English and she knew zero Italian.
Really? That's weird.
How much do you want to bang the other person if you have to go through that kind of work just to have a conversation? Hold on a second. Do you want to eat a dinner with me?
I don't know that it helps to speak your English with the Italian accent, though.
Of course it does.
Of course it does. Everyone knows that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Allison Pill of The Newsroom, also from Scott Pilgrim. She's 28 years old today. Jaleel White. You may know him best as Stephen Urkel. Of course, he's had a successful career after that. 37 years old today. Sharto Copley, who stars in the new movie Old Boy that's in theaters today. He celebrates his 40th birthday. Probably still best known for District 9, I guess. What a performance he gave in that. Michael Vartan from Alias and other projects is 45. Robin Givens turns 49 years old. Fisher Stevens is 50 years old. William Fichtner, one of my favorite character actors, is 57. He worked with Sharto Copley in that movie, Elysium.
Did he?
Yeah. Bill Nye is 58 years old today, and director Kathryn Bigelow celebrates her 62nd birthday today. If I'm not mistaken, Kathryn Bigelow, the very first woman director ever to win an Oscar.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think you're right on that.
For The Hurt Locker. 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Oh, what a program we have for you today from the Never Not Funny podcast. Jimmy Pardo joins us in studio in just a few minutes. Also, a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Adam Carolla on the show today. And our little friend Brad Williams will be here. Kevin, you and I are not very good broadcasters.
That's correct.
When you get a guy like Ralph Lawler on the phone and you look at his career and you look at him calling college football and boxing and auto racing and track and field and golf and tennis and college basketball. Oh, and all four major sports, the NFL, MLB, NHL, and the NBA, and currently for 31 years, the voice of the Los Angeles Clippers. I just feel like we shouldn't even be on the phone. So my point is that Ralph Lawler is better than we are, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Lawler. What an honor, sir. How are you?
Hey, it's Ralph, and B, it's Maestro LeBron, the two guys.
Ralph, of course, calls Clipper games for Fox Sports Prime Ticket on the TV and KFWB 980 AM for the non-televised games and has been doing it since the team was in San Diego. So what has it been like for you the last couple of years to see the Clippers rise to the level that you always wanted to see them at, Ralph?
Well, just imagine, I was having great fun when this team won 12 and lost 70. So you can imagine how much fun this is, you know, for me now when they won a club record 56 games last year and won their first Pacific Division title. It's been a long, long wait. It's been 35 years, but it's been worth it. It's a lot of fun. I'm so thrilled for the embattled fans who stuck with this club from the old days at the old L.A. Sports Arena to the move into Staples Center. It's a great time to be a Clipper fan and certainly to be a Clipper.
Ralph, if you do something for 31 years, it seems like it would sort of take the fun out of it. Has that ever taken the fun out of it for you to watch so many NBA games and call, you know, that many a season for 31 years?
No, actually, no. I got the job in 1978 in San Diego when the team was formed, having moved out here from Buffalo. And I said to my friends and family at the time, this is the last job I ever want to have. Well, that's 35 years ago, and I've still got it. And I can tell you, I get as excited about a preseason game in some small town in California, Bakersfield, for example, and as I do a game in the second round of the NBA playoffs where we were 2 years ago. I look forward to every single day, and I just consider that an absolute, you know, incredible good luck and a blessing because so many people aren't that fortunate. I am really a lucky guy.
Let me ask you this, as not just a man who calls the game, but as an unabashed fan of the Clippers. As a fan, there must have been years where you were very, very frustrated, especially with some of the things that Mr. Sterling did. How do you not let that creep over into the way you call the game to express that frustration sometimes?
I guess you call it compartmentalization. You put it in different compartments.
Yes. I so love that you just made that mistake. That makes me much happier.
But you just separate it. I mean, my job has never been to win games. It has always been to try to put on a good radio broadcast or a good telecast. And that's what I'm hired to do. And there were some nights where the team played poorly and lost, and I thought we had a really good show and gave people a reason to keep watching or keep listening, and found a way to entertain them or inform them or broaden their knowledge of the game. And at the end of the night, I thought, hey, we won. The team may have lost, but we as a broadcast crew won. And that's the only win-loss that I can control. And I love that challenge of being able to do that. I'm a broadcast junkie. I mean, I love to prepare and get ready and go on the air, and the people at Prime Ticket are great to work with, and it's just been a real thrill.
Speaking of challenges, though, the Clippers won by what last night? 30?
Sunday night, 30.
Sunday night?
39.
Yeah. Is that a much bigger challenge to call a game like that? Because, let's be honest, it really isn't coming down to the end, and they're so far ahead, it could be super boring. Is that a big challenge?
Yeah, it is. It's not quite as much of a challenge when you're ahead by 39 as in years past where we were behind by 39.
Sure.
A lot. I mean, that was, you want a challenge. That was a real challenge to keep people interested. I think fans love to win and win big. So Clipper fans are, you know, rejoicing and having fun. And that's what we try to do on the air in those games. But when you're behind by, I remember games, Kevin and Bean, we were down by 20 in the first quarter.
Oh,
and I look at the clock and say, oh, my God, we got three quarters to go. What am I going to do?
Wow.
To give anybody a reason to keep listening and watching.
This is the voice of Ralph Lawler here on the Kevin Abicho. He calls the Clipper games, Don't You Know? And I read quite a bit about you, Ralph, and it's amazing. I mean, you're one of those franchise announcers that the fans all know your name and they love you and they have such good memories. I mean, you must hear from people all the time. Hey, I grew up with you. Hey, I've listened to you every day since I was a boy. Or, hey, now my kids are into the broadcast. I mean, that must just be so rewarding for you to realize how many people you've touched throughout the decades.
Yeah, it really is, and it pleases me. But there's a balance now with the social network and, you know, Twitter. I'll be feeling real good about myself when people want autographs and photographs after a game, and I'll walk out and I'll turn on my phone and check Twitter. And
yeah, don't do that.
It's hey, you old S.
Did Ralph Lawler just swear on our air? Did
I
that
believe
just happen?
I almost did.
He almost did. I think he caught himself.
We ought to be able to trust you, a professional broadcaster, Ralph. Come on. Do you ever think about retirement, and then do you instantly put that out of your mind? Because if Vin Scully can still do it, you should be able to.
Well, Vin is certainly an inspiration to all of us. I think there's maybe two broadcasters in our league who've been at it longer than I have. So at this point, I think I've been taking it year by year for the past 10 years, I suppose, guys. And every summer, I kind of just take a deep breath and think, do we want to do this again or do we not want to do it again? And so far, every year, I've wanted to come back, and the people at the Clippers and a Prime Ticket have been good enough to bring me back. So next summer, we'll go through that process once again, I think.
Ralph, do you have a family in every NBA city?
Well, I'm lucky. I take my family, my wonderful wife, Jo, who's been with me since the beginning of all this, was a Clippers season ticket holder in San Diego when I met her, and she's the team's biggest fan. She travels with me, and so I'm taking my family with me, and we've got friends and family around the league that we get a chance to visit. We got like a 2-week, 7-game road trip coming up next week. That is also another challenge.
Yeah, no kidding. In our remaining moments, sir, what do you need to see from the Clippers to have it be a completely successful series? Do they have to win it all at this point to match expectations, or can they get just a little bit better and you'll still be happy?
Well, the goal is to win it all. That's the way that, that they brought Doc Rivers in, and with the roster he has assembled, that's the plan, that's the goal. But the furthest the team has ever gotten in the playoffs is the second round. I think they certainly want to get to the Western Conference Finals. I think anything from that point on would be considered a successful season and a building block for, you know, years beyond that. But the goal of every player in the roster and everybody in the front office is let's win a championship and let's win it now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, it's funny how when your goal is the Western Conference Championship, and then you get there, all of a sudden that's not good enough. Now you're thinking we need to get to the finals, and then when you get to the finals, you start to think, well, we could win the finals. I know that everybody is so competitive on the team that they probably feel that way when they get to it.
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, you know, there's 30 teams in the league. All of them want to win a championship. Only a few are in a position where they have a legitimate chance, probably two teams in the East and five or six teams, I suppose, you know, in the West have, honest to goodness, legitimate chances of going all the way. And when you get in that group, you know, then the competition gets to a whole new level.
Right,
right, right. Well, you're certainly now, you know, you're living nights where whoever's in town is coming to play hard because they know it's the Clippers and they know they're good, and that just makes every game tougher than it used to be, I bet.
Yeah, that's true. We got the New York Knicks in. They've lost six straight, but they got a star-studded roster, and it'll be a battle tonight at Staples Center, I'm sure, as it is every night.
You can hear Ralph Lawler calling your Los Angeles Clippers games on Fox Sports Prime Ticket on TV and KFWB 980 AM for non-televised game on the radio. A real thrill to have you on the program, Mr. Lawler. I wish you nothing but success, and best of luck to the Clippers as well.
Well, the thrill is mine, Mr. Kevin and Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Ralph.
He is never not funny. That's his pledge to you. He is comedian and podcaster Jimmy Pardo back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm okay. I got a little sinusitis. I lost my voice for a couple of days, but
great.
This is the best I sound in a long time.
So tell people what you're going to do tomorrow and how that's
going to
go.
Tomorrow, I'm going to enjoy my Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. On Friday, I'm sorry, I'm going to, the way I did that, in a passive-aggressive yet polite way.
Well done, although your eyes were yelling at me.
They were. Yeah. Well, you and we've got our history. I've got a podcast-a-thon going on Friday, which is my the marathon version of my podcast from noon to... We're actually going to go to 1 a.m., so it's 13 hours.
What?
Noon to
That's
1 a.m.
That's too much. That's too much.
It's raising money for children, sir. So it's not enough.
What are you doing with these children that you're raising money for?
It's for Smile Train. They go to third world countries and they fix cleft palates of children's
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
And you've been doing this for how many years?
This is my fifth year, doing it. And last year we raised $114,000.
Wow. Yeah. I thought it was going to be some weak-ass celebrity charity, but that's legit. That Smile Train
stuff is
legit.
This is real. This is, for whatever reason, 5 years ago I fell in love with this organization. Not enough to Google them and find out what they actually do behind the scenes, but...
Sure.
You know, that ad in Parade magazine, I understand that. Before and after, $250, I'm going to do it. And that's the beauty of it. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm going to ask this question just because it's so funny. No,
yes?
What causes a cleft palate for real? Is it just a genetic thing that's passed down from your parents? Or
they say it's something, again, this is where I really should do an hour of research so I can answer these questions.
Really, 10 minutes of research would...
Maybe, let's say one sentence of research. It has something to do with the water. The water doesn't have something in it.
Oh,
it's
no
lacking something. See, here's the thing. I knew all this information 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And as time goes on, instead of learning more, I've just lost that information.
You just know that it's a quality thing to give money to.
Yes.
And that's
right.
All you need to know now.
Yeah, I didn't know I was going to be grilled this morning, quite frankly. I came in to be entertaining, and I put that in quotes. And you guys put my feet to the fire.
The fifth annual Podcast-a-thon fundraiser to benefit Smile Train is going to be on Friday starting at noon. And you say now going 13 hours until 1 a.m. When you realize that you were losing your voice earlier, this week, the week of the podcast-a-thon, you had to feel like an NFL quarterback who's injured before the Super Bowl. Like, what am I going to do if I can't do this
thing? I would. Luckily, I have two co-hosts, Matt Belknap and Pat Francis, who are, without me, they're worthless. But, you know, they could probably pull their weight a little bit.
But if you're standing there unable to speak, but you're there.
I'm there. Listen, I'm the figurehead.
Right.
As long as daddy's home, we could, you know, we could have dinner. Is anybody happy with that analogy? Anybody like that picture?
No, I don't ever like it when somebody calls themselves daddy.
I do it ironically, and then Swingers ruined it. It was one of those things I always called myself daddy. And then here comes Swingers, and they may not have done it ironically.
Occasionally, we'll be talking about usually some young starlet, and I'll just say it. I don't do it on purpose, but I'll just because I think, ooh, daddy likey. I'll say that out loud, and everybody gets creeped out.
Yeah, it just rubs you the wrong way.
I would never say it like that.
Yeah, daddy likey. That's not in the vocabulary.
No, that's creepy.
Thank you.
I had no other adjective.
We, creepy squared.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
We need to take a very brief break. We apologize. We were running a little bit late having Ralph Lawler from the Clippers swear at us on the air. But when we come back, we're going to tell you more about Jimmy Pardo's event this Friday. And more importantly, it's sold out at the Acme Comedy Theater in Hollywood. But you can see it online at pardcast.com. Pardcast.com. Sounds like I can't pronounce it, but that's really how it's spelled. Wait till you hear who the guests are for Jimmy that he's going to be spending his Thanksgiving Friday with. It's incredible. We'll tell you all about it when we return on K-Rock. Jimmy Pardo, famous comedian and podcaster since what, Jimmy? 2006, I want to say?
Yes, sir, 2006. You're exactly right.
You are Christopher Columbus, man, the world of podcasting.
I thought you were going to say Christopher Cross, and I didn't know what you were going. I
would have been kidding. A strange reference.
You're the Christopher Cross of podcasting. You're right.
So you look at the fancy, the Chris Hardwicks and the Adam Carollas of the world. They stand on the shoulders of a giant named Jimmy Pardo. That's what I'm saying here this morning on the Kevin Beach.
I appreciate you saying that. I am a pioneer. I'm the beta tape of podcasting.
Yeah.
They are the VHS that has taken the ball and gone over the goal line. Whereas I'm stuck at the 40-yarder.
Well, Never Not Funny is the name of the podcast. You should definitely be checking it out, and you should certainly tune in to get some for free at pardcast.com this Friday starting at noon from the Acme Comedy Theater in Hollywood. If you're just joining us, Jimmy was telling us this is the fifth annual Pardcast-a-thon, raising money to benefit Smile Train. And the guest list, I mean, every year it gets bigger and bigger. Talk about this year's.
This year, Zach Galifianakis is going to be joining us. Patton Oswalt.
Anyone we've heard of?
That's hurtful. Yeah. Phil Hendry, you guys know Phil,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
Phil Hendry.
Radio legend. Wow,
yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Doug Benson is going to be there. Joel Stein, Scott Aukerman, Andy Richter. I mean, it's just incredible.
So, and a bunch more.
Does everybody come by for like a half hour or
that's
something?
Exactly
how does it work?
Yeah, every half hour we have a new guest. Every 10. And 40, no, abort. 20 and 50 of each hour.
Okay. 20 and 50.
20 and 50 of each hour. That's when they're scheduled to appear. Then they're out for 15, 20 minutes, chit-chat with them, and then adios.
Now, will you be behind the mic working the whole 13 hours?
I will be there the entire time with the exception of when I have, you know, obviously have to use the restroom. There's a break scheduled. Sometimes we take it, sometimes we don't.
Depends on how things are going.
We got to accordion it up sometimes, and Daddy's got to run backstage and get it.
Stop calling yourself Daddy
again. There's Daddy again.
Not call yourself Daddy.
You know what? At least I was on a baby kick there for a while because I watch Kojak every night before I go to bed, and I was calling everybody baby like uncomfortably so.
Well, that's also not used anymore.
Yeah.
I call people baby.
I got a lot of problems over
here. What's wrong with
and
you?
And apparently I'm a sponge. I don't know how to talk for myself. I'm influenced by Telly Savalas.
I understand.
Stop watching that show.
It's like beautiful. I love Hawaii Five-0. I tape Hawaii Five-0 every day at noon. I love that show so much. What is it about Kojak that has you keep going back?
Kind of the same thing as those old Hawaii Five-0. They're like... They're the homeland of its day, Kojak. It's really well
done.
Right,
but it's not the homeland of today, which is so much better.
The acting is terrific. They use some language that I didn't – at some point was allowed on television,
really?
Which
right.
I find fascinating. All of a sudden, they'll start throwing racist words around.
Yes, all the time.
And your mind gets blown. Like, what, you got to rewind. Did they just say that? But it
sounds like Jimmy's kidding. I'm not kidding. You watch some of those 70s shows, and they're throwing the N-word around.
They
like
are.
It's nobody's what? Business.
Like it's
really?
like it's just
another word.
Like it's like me saying
exactly.
Daddy. It's,
wow.
It's that
stop
bad.
Saying daddy.
Don't say the D word. My son was just watching Mr. Magoo, and he's got his little sidekick there. I think it's Charlie. Is that his name? And he literally does the Mr. Magloo. Oh, Mr. Magloo. And,
really?
And then my son goes to school, and he's doing it and offending every Asian kid in school.
That's great. That's perfect.
Yeah.
How do you have time to keep up with something new if you're watching all the old Kojaks? Who's got that kind of time?
I'm not watching a lot of it. You know, Homeland is it, right?
That's it. That's the only one you like?
I watch General Hospital every day because I'm a housewife in the 70s. So that's how I go to bed. Those are my last 2 hours. General Hospital, then Kojak. But what is it? That's it. Oh, no, Nashville. We love Nashville, too.
Nashville's so good. Yeah.
How about
so
Walking good. Dead? You fan of Walking Dead?
I'm not.
What's wrong with you?
I don't like zombies. I know if they were aliens, I would love that thing, but it's zombies, so I have zero interest.
I want to ask you about something else that you tweeted about.
Here we go.
I was surprised, Jimmy, not that I know you or anything, but I'm still surprised that this didn't seem like something in your wheelhouse, is that you ran a half marathon.
Yes, I
recently.
Did. Thank you.
Are you an active kind of guy? Is that not out of the norm for you?
I like to stay in shape. You know, I did one of those warrior dashes back in April or something. You know, those the 5K where you do an obstacle course.
And right.
I thought it was so much fun. I said, well, the next step would be a 10K. So then I ran a 10K. And then I was like, well, I guess the next step is a half marathon. So I ran the half marathon.
And the next step?
I haven't run since then.
Is going to be a marathon.
That's it, you're done.
I was supposed to do a half marathon. No, I was supposed to do a 10K tomorrow. For Thanksgiving, the turkey trot in L.A. here. But I got to get better. I got to rest up for the Parkastathon. But I it was really fun. I never done anything like – I'm with you. I didn't know that about myself. I had no interest in ever running. I don't think I'll ever do a marathon.
How does somebody who has no interest in ever running end up running a
I don't know. It was just like marathon. It was like you know, I don't know. I don't do anything. So, like, I play fantasy baseball and I do comedy and I raise my son. That's kind of all I do. You know, right. My podcast and pilots and, you know, show business. So I needed something other than show business and fantasy baseball. So I thought it was something neat to do. I also got two tattoos when my kid was born. I do a lot of things that, don't think I'm going to do. Yeah.
The only thing I'll say about marathons is if you have a car, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's not the contest. That's not the kind. I mean, we could do a marathon in a car if you want.
That's the only kind of marathon Bean would ever do.
Let's do it. We'll both leave from two different places. We'll meet in the middle, 26.2 later. I don't know what it is.
I like it. All right. The fifth annual Podcastathon fundraiser to benefit Smile Train is happening this Friday. You can watch it at podcast.com from the Acme Comedy Theater. Again, Zach Galifianakis, Patton Oswalt, Andy Richter, Scott Aukerman, Doug Benson, Phil Hendry, and I understand special guests stopping by. Hey, you have any musicians? Anyone coming by to play, or is it just all talk?
We do have a pop singer from the 80s.
A pop singer
and
from the
we
80s?
Have a,
Billy Squire?
No, I would love to have Billy Squire on.
A pop singer from the 80s?
He's
can we
a
guess?
Pop singer. Yeah, he's not.
We wouldn't guess.
He's not known for singing.
Okay.
He had a number two hit in 1980.
Jack Wagner.
That's it.
Boom.
What? How did you know that, Bean?
Well, not known for singing and a number two hit. I mean, you're talking about Jack Wagner.
Who knows that?
Wow, that is.
Plus, Jimmy's a General Hospital fan.
He caught on. He saw the clues. This guy's
Columbo, pieces together.
He is. I've never seen that show, so I don't know that he's on that.
That was one of our special guests, and I just gave K-Rock an exclusive.
All right, there we go.
All you Jack Wagner fans, you're set up for Friday.
Yeah.
Tune in to podcast.com on Friday. It's for a great cause, and there'll be a phone number people can call, or they can donate online.
No, they donate right online through it. Okay, actually, good. At podcast.com, there's a link.
I'm going to go. Jimmy, I am a charter subscriber to your podcast. I pay a little bit of your mortgage, so I'm going to go the extra step and give a little donation to Smile Train.
Well, I appreciate
you
that.
Today.
We're also doing some stuff with Laughster where we're auctioning items away to raise more money with Laughster.com.
Fantastic.
Oh, super. Fantastic. Well, good luck. I hope you feel better. I hope you have a great time on Friday.
Thanks.
We'll see you again, sir.
Thanks for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
This is my favorite.
December was Christmas.
Then
yes.
What?
January was New Year's. You're going to go through all of the holidays?
Easter.
Yeah, right? And the 4th of July. Now it's Thanksgiving. So just F Halloween, right? Just F Halloween. That's what you're saying.
It's Thanksgiving.
Just F Halloween.
Apparently, Halloween does not even get a shout-out in the Nicole Westbrook song.
I know.
Kind of disappointing. Hey, brand-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up. Also, Adam Carolla next hour, Brad Williams later in the show. And don't forget, you can go to KROQ.com right now and enter to be Miss Double December 2014. Deadline at 10 o'clock this morning. If that sounds like something you'd like to do, want to represent the show all year long next year, then get on over to KROQ.com and sign up. Ralph, what's going on with you?
Patrice Wilson's the only man who can write a song just by reading a menu out loud.
That's true. I make it a hit.
Let's see, what do I have here? Oh, I got the mashed potatoes. Yeah! Stuffing. Yeah! What's over here? Well, we're going to get some Chinese food. Oh, noodles. Yeah! Chop suey. Yeah! Madness.
And they get forever stuck in your head.
Yep. Here's the thing about my buddy Will Ferrell.
Okay.
He's the best person ever.
Well, look, I've known the guy a long time. And I think he's talented, but he just refuses to promote his movies. That's the thing I don't like about him, is he just will not
That's
go out
That's the only
out
knock
there.
Against him.
He will not go out there and support his films and get his face out there and try to raise awareness about his motion pictures.
Although he did those
Say what?
Commercials for that car.
The Dodge Durango?
He did 70 of those.
That's true. And he is doing color commentary for Canadian curling as Ron Burgundy. And he has been on Conan as Ron Burgundy.
Right.
And now it's been announced he is going to host ESPN SportsCenter as Ron Burgundy.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Love it.
Happening Thursday, December the 5th. Circle your calendars. This is going to be a good one, I guarantee you. And the details have not been finalized, but it is unlikely that Will break from Ron. It's going to be all Ron all the time.
I'm happy with that.
Me too. Good news is we get to see it even earlier than we thought. It was supposed to come out on the 20th of December as a Christmas present for all of us who love Ron Burgundy. But now they've moved up the date to Wednesday, the 18th, because Paramount is aware that people have an enormous amount of anticipation for this.
Could
film.
they move that up? Makes you feel pretty dumb, doesn't it?
Could they move up the date to today?
Wouldn't that be better?
Yes.
Yes. American Idol is addressing that racial discrimination lawsuit that has been filed against them.
Now, what's this one?
Well, the suit was filed in January, and it claimed that they were disqualifying many African-American contestants through the years, that the TV show was discriminating against them.
Meaning they were kicking them off because of the color of their skin.
That's what they claim. Okay. A lot of the contestants who were found out to have outstanding warrants and arrest records in their pasts gathered together and filed this lawsuit and said, it's not because we had shady pasts, because we had warrants out for various crimes. It was because we were black. That's why American Idol kicked us off.
But American Idol kicked him off. Says they kicked him off because
once they found out about their checkered past, they thought it did not mesh with the image they were trying to project with their contestants, and so they removed them from
now,
the competition.
Now, that only holds up if they can now show that there were lots of white contestants who had criminal records that were allowed to stay on the show, though, right?
Right. Or American Idol could have filed a 429-page response, including a motion to dismiss the suit, with the fairly compelling argument that approximately one-third of all golden ticket winners, those who advanced to the Hollywood portion of the show, have been African-American.
One-third?
One-third. And out of the show's 12 seasons, four of the winners have been African-American.
Okay, there's that.
Double the proportion of the country's population in terms of minorities. So they're claiming it's kind of hard to say we're discriminating against African-Americans when we do this.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on!
Yeah.
Race war!
It is, it is.
Race war is on, everybody!
Yep.
It's going down!
It's going to go down.
It's going down!
You're right.
Race, come on, race war.
Simon Cowell is going to take on Ruben Studdard. And a no-holds barred take, man. This may be just one of those frivolous lawsuits that will get dismissed, but American Idol's taking it seriously, so much so that they've mounted a very strenuous counter.
By the way, I'm also going to say, perhaps irrelevant to the conversation, I don't care if any of the contestants had criminal backgrounds. I don't think they should kick any of them out for trouble they may have been in with the law in the past.
But those are their rules, right? That's been the rule from the beginning.
Rule, yeah.
Right. But I'm just saying, does it matter to you if the person is a good singer and a good entertainer? Does it matter to you whether they got picked up for shoplifting 4 years ago? It doesn't to me.
Well, it does to them because they're trying to promote a wholesome image on their show. Yeah. And in some cases, it wasn't even criminal stuff. It was like they found out that one girl had done a topless softcore porn.
That was Mandisa, wasn't it?
No, I think it was Frenchie.
Frenchie
was removed from the competition.
Bean.
I hope it wasn't Mandisa.
Well, Frenchie was a big girl, too, by
but
the way.
But she was no Mandisa.
Frenchie went on to have, like, a very successful Broadway career, too, by the way. Didn't stop her at all.
Well, I'm just saying.
So, no race war?
No race war.
Hmm.
Speaking of lawsuits, Goldie Blox, who was being sued by the Beastie Boys for using a variation of their song Girls in their viral ad, they have since changed the music to that ad and has apologized to the Beastie Boys, saying they're huge fans of the band and they didn't mean to offend anyone. They weren't aware of Adam Yuck's will, which states that at no time should Beastie Boys songs be allowed to be used in any sort of advertising. And so they're saying, we're sorry. We love you guys. Please stop suing us. So it looks like the Beastie Boys have won that battle as well. Because
are there any girls here?
Well-known Beastie Boys do not like young girls.
That's not true.
That's
not true.
They pretty much think that they're horrible and they hate them. They hate children.
They just have never used...
Especially girls.
They've never let their music be used for commercials.
True, and they also hate little
not
girls.
True. That's a falsehood.
Well, they hate them. That's all
that
I
is
know.
Not true.
Okay, it may not be true, but all I know is they hate them.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Right, Pat O'Brien.
Girls love sex. All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Allison Pill from The Newsroom. She's got Pilgrim star as well, 28 years old today. Jaleel White is 37. Charlotte Copley celebrates his 40th birthday. Kirk Acevedo from Fringe, also from Oz, 42 years old today. Michael Vartan from Alias and Monster-in-Law, 45 years old. Robin Givens is 49. Fisher Stevens turns 50. William Fichtner, one of my favorite character actors, 57 years old today. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, is 58. And movie director Kathryn Bigelow celebrates her 62nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, you guys want to go see Arcade Fire, Phoenix, The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, Lord, Portugal the Man, Fits in the Tantrums, Atlas Genius, and Bastille?
Hey, yes.
That's night number two of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, happening December 8th at the Shrine. Again, completely sold out, but we are giving away tickets starting at 9 o'clock this morning. In fact, at 9, you win tickets for night two, and then at 10 o'clock, you win tickets for night one, and then throughout the day all the way up until 6. So if you want to win those tickets, stay tuned to K-Rock. Get ready to call in to win your first chance in less than 1 hour from right now. Details at krock.com.
So Kanye West has a new album out. He's got a new song out called Bound 2, and he put out a new video. Was it this week or last week?
This week.
This week, put out a new video, and then it got spoofed, and then we were talking about the video, and then eventually yesterday we started talking about the song.
Now, I'm fascinated with this.
It was last week, by the way, the video.
Last week, yeah. Okay.
I'm fascinated with this because yesterday, Dave and Kevin, you would have thought they were arguing over religion, the way they were screaming at each other about whether the song was good or bad.
Well, it's a horrible video. We can all agree with that.
The video is horrible.
It's a bad video.
It's not his best video. That's what I'm saying.
It's horrible.
I'm a fan. It's not his best.
Dave and I are horrible. That's why it's not his best, because it's horrible.
But do you like him at all, Ralph?
What's that?
Do you like any of his other stuff?
Some of his stuff. Okay. Yeah. I'm not a rap fan in general, but some of his stuff I think is pretty good.
I love Kanye.
I know you guys love him. Too. You're on the other end of it where you love him.
I'm over here with Kevin. I love Kanye. I think I like every song he's ever done.
I do not like this one.
This song's awful, though.
This song blows.
The video's bad and so's the song.
Yes.
I think this song is one of the best on his album.
You're out of your
crazy.
I honestly do.
You're out of your tree. The lyrics are infantile. They're just ridiculous.
The lyrics are the best, first of all.
Can we, for maybe folks who haven't heard the Kanye song Bound 2 that we're talking about, do we have a little bit of his song we can play?
Yes, we do, Bean.
See? What's that to like?
Yeah. I like the
nice piano.
I like the piano part.
That's nice.
I
know you're tired of
loving, when nobody loves. Sing it, Charlie.
This part's good. That part's good. I want to hear the rest of that song.
Yeah, this part of the song is the song that's good.
That's Charlie Wilson, right?
From the Captain.
All right, where's Jesus?
Uh-huh, honey. All the mother blame and you know it now. When the real will hold you down, you're supposed to drown. Bam.
Bam. Did it not go completely south when he started?
What do you mean?
Different song.
He's talking to a lady. He's talking to his lady.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, what?
That's terrible.
What are you talking about?
And I like Kanye, but that's a terrible. The first part of that song where he's singing is great.
He's letting her know that everyone else sucked, and now he's the one.
Oh, really? Because we didn't understand that.
You did it, or else you would like it.
In the club on a Thursday. She said she only here for a girl birthday. They order champagne but still look thirsty. Rock Forever 21 but just turned 30. I know I got a bad reputation. Walk around always mad reputation. Leave a pretty girl.
This is where it gets horrible, honey. By the way. This reputation couplet.
It's not horrible yet?
Well, okay. It is, but this gets more ridiculous.
Girl, sad reputation. Start a fight club, Brad reputation.
Start a fight club, Brad reputation.
Because he was a bad boy.
Come on. Nightclub, bad at a basement. I turn the plane around, you keep complaining. How you gonna be mad on vacation? Dutton running around all these Jamaicans. This that prime, this that prime. This that what we do, don't tell your moms.
They party.
This that red cup all on the launch. Got a fresh cut straight out the salon.
Right back into the good part.
Right into the good part, yeah.
Now,
that's a story. That's a story right there.
It's not a story.
That's a story of a relationship right there.
Barely stitched together.
That's the story of a relationship, and it starts from them right at the beginning,
the thing with
going
Dave
right
till
they get married.
If you put that rhythm behind anything, Dave will just cream his pants. Just lose his mind.
Listen to that arrangement. That was beautiful.
No.
All right. Here's the...
It's well produced.
Here's the solution, guys. Here's the solution. Maybe that song, maybe there's more to that song than that Yeezus has given us. Maybe he's the wrong guy. Maybe that song needs to be delivered in a better way. Maybe that's the problem with his delivery in the background, the music, and the production and everything. What if our friend Adam West, did Kanye West like
West
he does
to Noah
West,
time. Right?
That's what I'm saying. Hasn't he made all of Kanye's songs better for us this year?
I think so.
Well, all right, so let's listen to the lyrics, and then I would like Dave, the King of Mexico, to defend this song.
Well, it's romantic.
Bound to West on West.
I want to f*** you hard on the sink. After that, give you something to drink. Step back. Can't get on the mink. I mean, damn. What would Rome think? Hey, you remember where we first met? Okay, I don't remember where we first met. But hey, admitting is the first step. And hey, you know, ain't nobody perfect. And I know with the hoes, I got the worst rep. But hey, their backstroke, I'm trying to perfect. And hey, ayo, we made it. Thanksgiving. So hey, maybe we can make it to Christmas. She asked me what I wished for on my wish list. Have you ever asked your bitch for other bitches?
That was awesome.
Come on. Oh,
on, Dave.
Come on, admit it. Admit it.
He's changing for her. You don't get it, man.
Yeah, I don't
this
get it.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
It's a love story.
Well, I'm glad he's trying to work on his backstroke.
For those of you keeping score at home, Beer Mug just gave up on the diet. It's too hard.
What? He's been on it for like 4 days already.
That's correct.
What's he getting, a meatball sub?
I don't know what he's getting. He just gave up. And it's the way he said it, he's like, oh, I'll just take a foot long. And I was like, are you giving up? He's like, yeah, it's too hard.
Come on. You can't be on a diet the day before Thanksgiving anyway,
it's
Kevin.
It's too hard.
Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. How about a brand new internet roundup for you?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet.
Turns out the internet is a pretty big place, and it's kind of difficult to keep up with all the great videos every week. That's why we put them all together in one handy location at kevinandbean.com. Some of them, we're not going to play audio for you here, but they're definitely worth checking out, including we were just talking about Bound 2, the Kanye song. Well, Bound 3, the great video with Seth Rogen and James Franco, is hilarious. That's in the roundup. The Bat Kid Rises trailer is amazing. If you haven't seen that, someone turned that adventure in San Francisco with that little sick kid who got to play Batman for a day and actually made a movie trailer about it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball Chat Roulette is definitely worth seeing. The looks on people's faces when they click on this guy on Chat Roulette and he's literally, you know, swinging on a ball in his underwear is just priceless. And Governor's Creek, somebody has reimagined what's going on in Walking Dead this season to the like the opening of Dawson's Creek, and it's hilarious too. All right, we're talking about Anchorman coming out December the 18th. The cast has been all over the world doing promotion for it, and this is awesome. This is all the guys. This is your Paul Rudd, your Steve Carell, your Will Ferrell, and your Koechner. They're all together down in Sydney, Australia, reprising a great moment from the first Anchorman movie. I think you'll recognize it.
When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and you know the night is always going to be there anyway. Sky rockets in flight. Boom! Afternoon delight. Whoop!
Isn't it awesome that they still do that?
Yes,
I love that so much. Kevin, this is a video that's near and dear to your heart. This is drunken football fans who decide they're going to race down the street on a public sidewalk, and one of them runs right into a light pole. I mean, this guy gets laid out, and it's pretty funny to hear the crowd's reaction.
Ready, set, go.
What are you guys doing?
Oh,
who is that?
Don't do that.
They're horrified, but they're also laughing at what they just saw with this guy running head first into a pole. It's pretty funny.
It is strong. It looks like he's trying to run into it head on.
Yeah, it's tough. The Onion is a very popular fake news website. I guess I didn't realize they had gotten into the movie review business, but here's their critic talking about The Hunger Games catching fire.
This is Peter Rosenthal, head film critic for The Onion. Today I'm going to be looking at the new film, Catching Fire, the second installment in the popular Hunger Games trilogy, about a teenage girl challenging a corrupt dystopian government with the help of a boy who, all things considered, isn't even that hot.
That's what's important to consider when you're really talking about it, right?
True. And he goes on through the whole movie talking about the guys. It's awesome.
And how hot they are or aren't. Here's a winter tradition. There's this guy who dresses up like a snowman, and he's out on a city street, and people are walking by, and they just think it's a Christmas decoration, and then he moves. He lunges toward them, and oh, my God, are people terrified when they think a snowman is alive and trying to kill him.
Hey, snowman!
Help me.
That is not a cute...
It is funny, too, because sometimes it's the smallest movement. Like, he just turns his head.
Yep.
That would
freaks
freak
people
me
the
out.
Hell out.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a surprise, by the way, to me, how many people, the first thing out of their mouth when they're surprised and terrified is the F word.
Yeah.
Like that, for whatever reason, that's on everybody's tongue.
Yeah.
One of the great features of Jimmy Kimmel's late night show on ABC is a feature that he does where he has celebrities come in and read mean tweets that other people have written about them. And here's the latest version of that.
Can tweets even be mean? Your face is so stupid. I hate you, John Krasinski.
What in the f*** is up with Amy Poehler's face? Bitch looks like she survived a nuclear blast.
Really, Mark Ruffalo? That's the face you're going with? God, this movie's gonna suck.
Hank from Breaking Bad is just a fat Bruce Willis.
McLovin sucks on Chode!
Larry David, exclamation point, shut the f*** up. You shut the f*** up.
I love that bit so much. I love that Jimmy keeps doing it. Tomorrow is a once-in-our-lifetime event where the first day of Hanukkah coincides with Thanksgiving. And Nick Kroll and some of his friends, including Fred Willard and Kamal Nemanji and Penny Marshall, they got together and they made what looks like a romantic comedy. It's a movie trailer of Thanksgivica, the movie, and it's all about a guy who's got two families, the family that he's trying to spend Hanukkah with and the girlfriend's family that he's trying to spend Thanksgiving with, and he doesn't want either one to know that the other party is going on. So it's one of those wacky running back and forth between the two houses kind of parties, and it's a very funny movie trailer, and I bet people would pay to go see it if Nick Kroll made this film.
Avi Rosen loves the holidays.
I'm going to have so much fun with my family tomorrow.
Your family?
But this season...
Thanksgiving and Hanukkah are on the same day?
You'll get two holidays for the price of one.
He'll get two for the price of one.
And they always do.
And finally, our friend Harley is back from Epic Mealtime. This is kind of a two-parter on this video on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. One is he builds a bacon cornucopia where he just stuffs this giant piece of bacon with hamburgers. And I think, no joke, I think it ends up having almost 50,000 calories in it.
Yeah. Yeah, the bacon is in the shape of a turkey.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Mugs, maybe that's something you ought to think about for Thanksgiving this year. But the other thing that he does that I think is very, very cool, because he does so much nonsense with food throughout the year, is he decides to give a little back, and he goes into a grocery store and starts walking around buying people's Thanksgiving groceries.
We're about to pay for some groceries for people. A lot of our lives are based in the grocery store, so we thought we'd give back.
I bought your groceries for you. Can I have your son in exchange? You hear that? You're my son now.
Hey, sir. Sorry. Is this your groceries?
That's right.
I'm going to pay for your groceries. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah. Just happy Thanksgiving. Because I do all these horrible things year-round, and I want to get to heaven, so I thought I would do some nice things now. I'm from Canada. We like to do nice things.
It's funny, by the way, because some of the people he goes up to are very suspicious of this offer. It is too good to be true. And they're like, no, please don't buy me groceries. No, I'm fine. But Harley talks about it. It's a very sweet moment. You can see all these videos and so much more at krock.com, kevinandbean.com. It is the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Hey, if you're looking for something fun to do this Thanksgiving weekend, why not spend your Sunday at the Hooters in Santa Monica on the 3rd Street Promenade? Our friend Adam Carolla is going to be there doing his live podcast and Mangria tasting. That's going to be Sunday at 4:30. Admission is free. The Mangria is not, but you'll want some. And when you're at your Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow and you're pouring out your cranberry sauce out of a can, I want everybody to remember the great Adam Carolla, too, because, you know, that's his thing. That's his legacy, that's right. his cranberry sauce in a can. How are you, Adam?
Good. How you doing?
Very good.
What's
Thank
going
you.
On, man?
I just moved, and I don't know if my phone line's a little wanky or what.
Well, it sounds like you're in a giant auditorium.
I can't find carpet. I got one of those rich white guy problems. It's just too much hardwood. Now moving on to terracotta tile. There's a runner. You know what? Let me. You know where I can stand? If I stand in my bedroom, I think I'm going to find some carpet.
There you go.
I love that Adam has a grand room that's the size of a gymnasium, so that's why he can't have a conversation in there anymore.
Blimp hanger, but if you want to call it a gymnasium, that's fine.
All right, we'll let you move into the bedroom while we play your intro music. Adam Carolla is here every week on the Kevin and Bean Show for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, I like to make people laugh, but I like to make people think, and I like to innovate as well. And I think I've come up with another universal idea that would really aid society and not cost us a penny.
All right.
We need a double honk, which is a honk that takes back the honk that we just laid out. I don't know if you've ever had this situation, but 2 days ago, I was behind some big SUV. You know, they're all SUVs. Everyone's got a Denali with a smoked window in the back, and you can't see through it.
Right.
And we came up on an intersection. We were stopped, and the person wasn't going out into the intersection to turn left.
Yep.
But I didn't want to honk because I thought George Clooney was in front of him in his smart car, and I just couldn't see him.
Right.
So we just sat there, and the signal went from green to red, and it turned, and then eventually I realized when I looked to the left, no Clooney, nobody in a Miata, nobody in a clown car, nobody turned left. So he didn't go out into the intersection. He completely spaced out, and the signal cycled and nobody made a left turn.
Right.
And in which case, I gave a mad honk. Like, hey, come on, buddy, we both could have made it on this one. What
sure.
are you doing here? You hold me up. I'm late for work. He clearly felt bad because when the signal then changed to green again, he went not only out into the intersection, he went way into the intersection. He went into the part where the other person who was trying to turn left, he was bumper to bumper with.
Right.
Then cars were coming down a hill at a fast pace, and he was trying to thread the needle in between a Hummer and like a M1 Abrams tank. And I wanted to yell at him, don't worry about it. It's not worth killing yourself over.
So you need a take it back honk.
A take it back honk. Because, you know, 9 times out of 10 you get the bird, but every once in a while you get the guy who is so racked with guilt he's going to attempt to kill himself and his family turning left when there's no possible opening to make up for the extra 13 seconds.
So how do they know you're not honking again?
This is my point.
All right.
How do they know what the middle finger means, Kevin?
They've seen it enough.
We worked it out.
Yeah, it's true.
As a society.
Yeah,
how do we know what the peace sign means?
Sure.
How do we all know the Macarena? We've worked on it as a society. I'm saying the quick toot-toot double honk will negate the first honk.
Okay. All right. I think we could all get on board with that.
So that's a withdrawing of your honking.
I could have given him a quick toot-toot double honk. If he would have known the sign, he would have went, okay, I can relax. And not end up in a ball of flames in front of me as I drive past the accident shaking my head.
I like the toot-toot.
Double honk, take back.
All right.
Done.
Now, also, something I discovered. I just stumbled onto it the other day. I don't know if you guys have had this, but as you get a little bit older in your years, the farts that you thought you could hang on to, every once in a while, they make a run for it. You know what I mean? Like, you're standing around, you're talking to somebody, you go, yeah, I got this, and all of a sudden, something happens, or you bend down to pick up your keys, and you're like, geez, I don't want to do that in front of these people, but I did, but I didn't think I had a choice, but I thought I had it under control, I realize, wait a minute, this is why for all those years, my dad and every other older dude, whenever he got up off the sofa, what'd he do? He made that noise. You know?
That's true.
sitting down. They're covering the fart.
That's true.
We just thought it was old guy sound. It's fart cover sound.
Wow, who knew?
Well, because if you think about it, the guy's 52. He just ran 8 miles on a treadmill. Why is he grunting to get off a sofa?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's fart cover mode, and I realized we need to just start adopting that in our 20s and 30s, you know? Getting onto the sofa, off the sofa, getting out of the car. You make that sound, nobody hears your farts. That's what the old guys, it's the secret of the old guys. They've been doing it for years, and I just caught on last night.
What about a double fart take back?
Double fart take back.
Just a thought.
Get Aaron Rodgers in on this. And last but not least, of course, the cranberry sauce.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there it is.
We must be coming pert near 20 years on this advice. The canned stuff. First off, the canned stuff. It's... those of you heathens, those of you cretins who say you like the canned stuff better, you need to just come to one of my centers to be brainwashed, or at least de-brainwashed, because you've had something done to you. You don't like it better. It's like saying I like a Twinkie better than I like strudel. You don't like it better. You were conditioned. Something happened to you along the way. I'd like to undo it. This is a time where everything is cooked. We would not accept canned yams. We wouldn't accept canned turkey, canned green beans, canned anything. The only thing that should be eaten something out of a can is a dog on this day. Even the dog should get table scraps. You get one sack. The cranberries come in sacks. It's easy. Each sack takes one cup of water. Start with a half cup of sugar. You can sweeten it a little more if you like. Put in a saucepan. Bring it to a boil. Put a lid on it. 7 minutes later, you're in cranberry heaven. And don't get smart with the walnuts. And don't get in. If you want to do a little lemon zest, I'm not going to come to your house and attack your family. I mean, verbally, yes. But physically, they'll be fine. And it's easily done. No can openers on Thanksgiving.
Adam, do you feel like you're losing this battle?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. I don't.
I feel like you are.
No. The battle with testicular cancer is lost. This battle rages on. Okay.
All right. What would your advice be, Adam, as we say goodbye to the great Adam Carolla? What would your advice be for people who are in someone else's home this Thanksgiving holiday season and their hostess goes the canned route with the cranberries? Say something or just shut up and be a gracious diner.
I used to do this with my Aunt Pat, who used to open it. And she opened a can. I didn't want them to open it. And I very discreetly and tastefully brought my own cranberry sauce and my own Tupperware that I made at home.
What?
And I said, do not take this personally. I am allergic to lazy bitches. And then we just moved on with grace. And it was you know.
It does sound like a deft touch.
No, it's very sensitive. Very sensitive. You can see Adam Carolla this Sunday at the Hooters Santa Monica on the 3rd Street Promenade starting at 4:30. Admission is free. Mangria is not, but you'll want some once you get there. Enjoy the podcast. Enjoy the holiday, Ace Man. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Funny man Brad Williams joins us in studio coming up after the top of the hour. First, I'll wrap us here with the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I have had it.
With?
You.
And?
Him.
Because?
I'm not coming to work tomorrow nor Friday. Screw
you.
I'm not coming
that
in.
That kind of attitude.
You are taking a stand.
I am. I'm planting my feet, Lisa. Eventually a man's got to state something about who he is.
I understand.
So you're going to walk out of here and you're not going to come back till Monday. That's what you're saying.
God damn right I'm not.
You know what? Me either.
Oh.
What do you think of that?
You copycat. You.
I'm good with that. I'm fine.
Co-signer.
Sorry, Bean. You're on your own. Hello?
I don't want to play.
I've already left. You kidding me?
Congratulations to Jennifer Love Hewitt. She had both a baby and a new husband in the same week. That's something.
It's a hell of a week.
It is. She had a baby girl named Autumn yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Autumn. Autumn coming to the stage.
Autumn does equal poll.
Get those dollar bills out, gentlemen. Autumn's not working for your cheers and your applause. No, Autumn's making a living. Let's hear it for Autumn.
I think that's a beautiful name, by the way, Ralph. Autumn. I mean,
it
I
is.
Don't have the same association you do with a former stripper.
Camomile. Camomile, you're up on stage, too. Camomile. She also married Brian Hallisay, her boyfriend of the past 19 months, and baby daddy, so everything worked out.
Except for the poll.
Except for the whole poll thing. But look, girl has a built-in career. That, you can't say that about a lot of newborns. No question about what she'll be doing. Sad news, Frankie Muniz, star of Malcolm in the Middle. Kid's just 27 years old, but he's got a lot of serious health problems. Yeah. He revealed on Twitter that he suffered a mini stroke.
Oh, my God.
Which was, in his words, positively miserable. Poor guy had another episode almost a year ago, had trouble with speaking and blurred vision, had yet another one. So something's up with Frankie.
Wow.
It's scary.
Yeah, so apparently he's recovering, but those can be terrifying. I mean, they make it sound like nothing when they say it's a mini stroke.
Oh, that mini stroke can't be difficult.
It's like, you just had a minor heart attack.
Right.
It's fine unless you're the person going through that. I just hope he's okay. With the trouble with the dizziness, though, and balance, might be Malcolm in the Middle ear. Sounds like he's
got
a problem. I'm just saying.
Really?
Those symptoms could be also...
Wow.
Our long national nightmare, Dancing with the Stars, is over. The three-hour-long finale last night.
Are you kidding me?
Showcased the final three couples in quest for the coveted Mirror Ball trophy of season 17. Amber Riley of Glee, Corbin Bleu of gay porn?
High School Musical?
I want to say.
Same.
He's a Disney star.
And Jack Osbourne were the final three. After it was all said and done, and after Enrique Iglesias performed, and after Valerie Harper and Bill Nye did a little something-something, after Yilvis performed the fox.
Are you kidding?
They finally got around to crowning a winner, and it turned out it was Amber Riley from Glee. As she accepted the trophy, she said, "I want to let women of all sizes out there know you can do whatever you put your mind to. Doesn't matter what size you are, what color you are, you can do whatever, whatever, whatever you put your mind to."
That is a lie.
It absolutely is.
Okay.
No one can do anything they put their mind to. Sometimes you can put your mind to things, and then it just doesn't happen.
I could put my mind to being a rocket scientist. You know what's not going to ever happen?
You will not launch a rocket.
That's correct.
That's what I'm saying.
Doesn't matter if I stick with it the rest of my life.
If I ever accept an award, I'm going to say, this is so everyone just know, just live within your parameters. Just know your limitations and just work inside that comfort zone. Do not push it. Just do the best you can.
That's the difference between you and me is you might win an award.
That's true. Today's celebrity birthdays. Allison Pill from The Newsroom and from Scott Pilgrim. She is 28 years old today. Jaleel White is 37. Charlton Copley celebrates his 40th birthday today. Kirk Acevedo from Fringe and Oz. Great actor. 42 years old. Michael Vartan, we probably know him best from Alias, is 45. Robin Givens is 49. Longtime actor and now director and producer Fisher Stevens is 50 years old today. William Fichtner, one of my favorite character actors, turns 57. Speaking of Bill Nye, the Science Guy, he celebrates his 58th birthday today. And Oscar-winning director Catherine Bigelow is 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The party doesn't really get going until the little person shows up. And ladies and gentlemen, our friend Brad Williams has stepped into the K-Rock studios. He is going to be appearing at the Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank with four big shows this weekend. That's two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night. Tickets only $20 at flapperscomedy.com. Brad, how are you, sir?
Ditch the family. Yes, because the family's going to be over. You're going to have the meal, and they're staying for the whole weekend. You're like, what? We got to get out of here.
You will be pretty tired of them by then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just come out to Flappers. Y'all sit there. Let me talk to them for 2 hours. All good.
Bum. I'm a little nervous about having Brad on. We've had him on many times before, and he's sweet and adorable. But now he comes in with the evil facial hair, and
right?
I feel like it's a Leprechaun movie all of a sudden. It's like kind of scary now.
It's the bizarro world. Brad,
did you
Williams.
Ever see Ankle Biters?
Ankle Biters?
Yeah.
I think I rented that. That an adult movie?
That's a fantastic movie. No, it's not.
Oh, all right. That was a completely different Ankle Biters than I could have sworn. I was like, ooh, Ankle Biters.
No, that's not a porn.
I thought that was a porn starring Bridget the Midget. No, it's not?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think this is a, I think that's the name of it, and I think it is Midgets Who Are Vampires. I think. I can't remember for sure.
That's like a must rent.
I'll check on that.
Midget vampires.
Ankle biters.
Oh, my God. Why do I? First of all, why was I not in this movie?
I don't know.
Right?
I mean, I'm usually humping ankles and knees, but I never thought about biting them.
Somebody double check that and get back to me on whether that's the actual name of it or
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely. See, I get so excited when I hear about dwarf things. Like, people forget that, like, I'm not constantly thinking about it. So when I see another little person, I get excited.
You get happy.
I get really excited. And if it's a female little person, everyone around us gets really quiet. Because they think they're, like, interrupting an episode of a National Geographic thing. Just like, oh, it's their mating season. Don't disturb them. You don't want to do it.
Leave them in peace.
It's like sea turtles. They've passed laws to make sure that we don't bother them. And then,
you bother them.
And then I bother.
Yeah.
I go to town and people are like, well, but doesn't the girl have a choice? I'm in the top five midgets of show business. So she is not turning me down. Top five.
By the way, I want to put in a quick plug here because, Brad, you mentioned ankle biting, and it reminds me of you humping legs at the Miss Double December pageant a few years ago.
Where that's tradition.
Where we fell very much in love with you.
Sure.
The pageant this year is going to be in your hometown of Fullerton. It's going to be on Friday, mm-hmm. December 13th at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen like we do. That's when we crown Miss Double December 2014. And the reason I want to bring it up is because we're in the final hour of submissions.
Oh, boy.
So 10 o'clock this morning is where we cut it off, but you can go to krock.com. If you're 21 and over, you want to complete your submission, send it in, fill out the application, two photos of yourself, and then you can become Miss Double December 2014, and you go to Acoustic Christmas next year, and you go to the Weenie Roast.
And you get your leg humped by me.
I'll never forget that day, because Brad was on the side of the stage, and just out of the blue, he said, you want me to hump her leg? And I was like, yes. Yes,
and,
I do.
And you didn't know me.
I didn't know you at all.
You didn't know me.
I just saw you, and you were willing to hump her leg, and I thought that would be funny. I was like, sure, have at it.
And then Joanna's knee got pregnant.
That's right.
That's what happened.
Speaking of you didn't know Brad, now you guys are traveling together, as you've heard on this show.
What could go wrong?
Kevin and Brad are going to Brazil for the World Cup. Now, when is that? Is that June next year?
Yeah,
June.
All right, we need, when Omar gets back, let's get some sort of a Summer of Death update.
I think
we're
going to
need a little
playing
souter that says Summer of Death. Tragedy, this just happened this morning, Brad. Tragedy struck World Cup preparations in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Wednesday when a crane collapsed during construction of a stadium. At least three workers were reportedly killed in the accident, and the structure was damaged. By the way, this stadium, Kevin, have you looked at these photos yet?
I have.
How is that place going to be ready for the freaking World Cup in
They say months? This every 4 years about whoever's hosting it, and it's always ready.
That's true.
Although, I have my doubts on this one.
doesn't it seem like the OSHA requirements are sketchy in a country like Brazil? I'm not basing that on anything, but I don't know. Brazil is in the final stages of getting the country and its infrastructure ready for next summer's World Cup. The country is also set to host the 2016 Summer Olympics, which I did not know, by the way.
Wow.
So these photos do not look good, by the way, in bad times at the stadium.
Here's what I like. I like that I'm on Twitter, and everybody who sees that story thinks of me and says, nice knowing you, and they send me the photo, the link.
I got about 12 links from it. People just see things happening in Brazil. They go, hey, have fun with Kevin. Bad You're going to die. Awesome.
Well, we had a good run.
We did.
Right.
Not everyone who goes to Brazil for the World Cup is going to return to their home country. I'm just putting it out there. That's all.
That's maybe true.
They could die from a stadium collapsing. It could be a drug run. They could catch something from a world-famous Brazilian hooker. Who knows?
Where have you traveled to do comedy outside of the United States, Brad?
Iraq, Kuwait, Oman, Bahrain, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Germany, and Japan.
Wow. How about off the top of your head? Can you name any countries?
Most of that's for military, right?
Yeah, well, they're all for military shows, which is
Now, when you go and do that, that's awesome. That's to your credit that you take the time to do that, and I'm sure it's enormously rewarding for you. But can you ever venture out into the country at all, or are you all just strictly on military bases?
Because in some of the less conflict areas, like Bahrain, I got to go out, but they're still nervous of something happening to me because white dwarf walking around, I kind of stand out. So they gave me like a 2 Marine escort.
Really?
Yeah.
We need to get some Marines to go with us to Brazil.
Yeah. because you're just like walking around like, I hope someone F's with me. Bring it on, USA. And when I was doing that, this one dude, he saw me and he just reacted very strangely. He just starts yelling at me like, oh my God, it's a demon. Get away from me, you demon.
That didn't happen.
That happened.
Really?
That happened. And the Marines, and I look at the Marines and I go, shoot him.
Like, of course, they're like, no.
Yeah, they're like, no, he's not doing anything. I'm like, hey, that could be code for hit the button on the vest. I don't know what demon, like, but so
you
then,
don't get to control the Marines.
I thought I did.
Yeah, well, that doesn't come with the package.
I thought they were there to do my beckoning. So
no.
I just started running after the guy.
That called you a demon?
Yeah, just like just running after him. And then the Marines, when that happened, took out their weapons and started running after us, and they started yelling out, "He's loose! He's loose!"
They did.
That's a true story.
That's not a true story.
That is an absolute true story.
Why?
Awesome.
Why was this guy so nervous? I mean, this Bahrainian, do they not have dwarves in Bahrain? Do they do the right thing and drown them in birth or what?
Oh, Bean. What a dick.
Oh, I hope they don't do that in Brazil.
Have we done any research on
dwarves in Brazil?
Yeah, I mean, is there a way to research?
There's a network, right?
The response
across the world.
I don't know. Maybe
do I need
I
to carry heat?
Heat. I'll take a little pee.
Wouldn't it be weird if this is like one of those movies where Brad goes down there and everybody thinks he's a god?
Yes,
they've never seen
that's
him.
That's what
before.
I'm hoping.
Oh, so. So it'll be like when C-3PO goes to the land of the Ewoks. And
exactly.
Oh, my goodness. This is... Oh my God.
Exactly.
Yes, I become king of Brazil.
And they'll lay all of their cocaine at your feet?
Master of cocaine in whorehouses.
Dude, if you could become the king of Brazil, honestly, you would give up the life you have now. You would never come back. Let's face it.
I will be mini Charlie Sheen over there.
If he was the king of Brazil, I wouldn't come back either.
You'll just live there as his right-hand man.
That's right.
Yeah. Brad Williams is here. We have to take a very quick break and come back more with Brad. If you want to see him on stage, and you should, this Thanksgiving weekend. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday at the Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. Tickets available through flapperscomedy.com, and we'll be right back on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 27 minutes after 9.
We need to have Brad in every day because the music is so much more fun when you can watch a little person dance during it.
Yeah.
It is. Were you doing the Cabbage Patch there? What was going on there,
I was
there,
doing
Brad?
A little Cabbage
awesome.
Patch, a little fist pumping action like a champ.
It is magical.
It is.
Exactly. Comedian Brad Williams on stage at the Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank this weekend. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Tickets are only $20, available through flapperscomedy.com. And by the way, the last time we had Brad on was the date that his new comedy album, Hi Ho, came out. That's available through Amazon.com or iTunes. Recorded at the Ice House in Pasadena. And that you can get more information at bradwilliamscomedy.com.
And people are buying it.
Are they?
It's great. Thank
good
you.
For
I
you.
I can afford Christmas gifts this year.
Oh, that's sweet.
But I'm doing all my shopping online this year.
You are?
Because, all right, when I go to the malls, it's just...
Yeah, what is it like?
It's not good for me. There's been multiple times when some mall employee has just grabbed me and went, "What are you doing? You're late." And then starts dragging me towards the mall Santa.
That doesn't seem good.
That's not good at
right.
all. Last time I got thrown out of the Brea Mall.
You did?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Why?
Oh, because I walked by the Santa and I wanted to have a little fun. So I started yelling. I'm like, "You haven't paid me in 3 weeks, a-hole."
Yes.
And
they didn't see the humor in that?
Yeah, they didn't. The kids were like looking around. They
They'll
were so confused.
Crying.
They were crying. Like, "Oh, Santa runs a sweatshop." Yeah, he does. He doesn't pay me. He's dressed in red because he's a communist, you bastards. Yeah, I got kicked out of the Brea Mall.
Good times.
That was not fun.
Shattering little kids' dreams. Speaking of little kids, forgive me if this is an indelicate question, Brad,
sure.
But we've known you for a long time, and I know that there's very little that people could ask about little people that you haven't already heard.
Mm-hmm.
But do little kids want to fight you because you're the same size as them and maybe they don't understand that you're not a kid? I'm serious.
It's either the situation that we spoke about earlier where like they look at me like I'm like the god, because it's like, wait a minute, he has facial hair but he's wearing my size t-shirt,
right?
This is King Kid.
Right.
Yes, I'm King Kid. Or I get in a situation where like I'm there with the other bully and he sees me as like a threat. So then he feels like we gotta, you know, the clash of the mini titans.
Sure.
And
so what happens in that situation?
It actually happened recently. I was at McDonald's and I was just eating indoors, and like they had like one of those play places.
Sure, the playland.
Yeah. And one of the kids comes out and he sees me and he takes one of the balls from the ball pit and just hucks it at my head. And
why did he do that?
I don't know. Dodgers signed this kid up. He was like 15 feet away and he just nailed
strike?
Me. I mean, don't get me wrong, my head is large,
it
but
is.
Still 15 feet away, and it had a curve on it and everything. It's like a little
wow.
bit Kershaw. And
tell me you chased him.
Oh, absolutely. I chased him.
How old was he?
He was like 7. And I'm jamming after him. And, like, I had this comic with me who opens for me now named Eric Myers, very talented comedian. And, like, I'm essentially his boss. He's like, I got to defend my boss. So he starts running after him, too. Now we're two guys
chasing a little kid.
Yeah, and, like, he runs into the play place. Now, the play place has this, like, sort of like Paul Blart mall cop guy.
Right.
That's, like, hanging out just to make sure no one in black panel vans drives by with a camera or something like
sure.
that.
Sure.
So he sees me and Eric. Now, Eric's, like, 5'6". So we run up, and he stops, and he's like, whoa, hey, you, no. But then he points at me and goes, you're good.
So you got let past the guard, but not your friend.
Yeah. So
wow.
So the kid dives into the tubes, but what he doesn't realize, I can run in the tubes, like standing up.
That's strong.
I'm just good. I'm hauling like I'm Mario. I just got the star or something. And I grab the kid's foot, and I start like dragging him out of the tube to yell at him. That's when the kid's dad sees.
I was going to say, where are his parents?
Yeah, the dad walks up, and he's a very large man, but he was coming up from behind. He couldn't see, like, my face. So when he walked up, he realized that I'm, like, a man. And
right.
He looks down, sees me, sees his kid, looks at me, looks at the kid, and the kid's looking up at the dad, like, help me, dad. And he just looks down at his son and goes, I can do nothing for you, boy.
Really?
And he just walks away. I'm like, yeah, get you some. Not throw disease-ridden ball pit balls at dwarf heads.
And when you say the dad was a large man, what, like 5'1", 5'2"?
5'2", like huge.
Yeah, yeah, monster.
Just a mammoth of a man.
Listen, we're almost out of time here, Brad.
Yeah.
You mentioned something to us that was so fascinating. You are going to be back on Legit. Now, that comes back in January. One of our very favorite shows is going to be on the FXX channel.
Or
is it FFX?
So
which one is it?
It's
two X's or two F's? Two X's. All right.
It's on
this
the 2X
is Jim Jefferies show, and
right.
It is great. You were on last season as well. Can you tell us anything about what you're doing?
I don't think I'm allowed to give away, but just know that anytime that there's little people and the mind of Jim Jefferies, it's going to be demented.
Awesome. Yeah.
And just to give you an idea, like when Jim had his kid. When Jim had his son Hank, like the comics almost had an intervention with them. Like we brought him aside, like, Jim, are you really sure that you could be a dad? Like,
really?
Yeah. Like we were like, I don't know about this
because his instincts have always been wrong.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And Jim looks at the comics and he looks at me and goes, "Well, here's how I look at it. I could be a father because Brad, you're my friend." And you haven't died around me.
That's it. That's his reasoning?
Yeah, he's like, I'm taking care of a dwarf, so I can have
about
a kid.
The same.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that poor child.
Which makes me realize, you know how they have those, like, you know how to try to scare teenagers to not get pregnant? They, like, make them take care of an egg or something for a
sure.
week in high school?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They
should take care of a midget.
Exactly.
That's my plan.
I like it.
Just get me loaded off like two shots of Jack, and then I'll be gone for a week.
Somebody would be taking care of you all the time.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a good plan.
Love it.
You need to start renting yourself out to high school girls or something.
The views just expressed by Gene Bean Baxter.
No, I mean for the baby experience. I mean, yeah.
For the baby experience, that sounds like something you order off the menu at the Bunny Ranch. I don't know about that.
Right. I should stop while
yes,
I'm ahead.
You should probably.
Follow him on Twitter at FunnyBrad. His website is bradwilliamscomedy.com where you can find information about the comedy album and his award-winning, I'm just assuming, award-winning About Last Night podcast
sure.
as well. But most importantly, go see Brad on stage at the Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. Four big shows this weekend at flapperscomedy.com. Brad, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
So is Patrick Diedrichs of Yorba Linda, who just won tickets for night number 2 of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. We got tickets for you every hour on the hour all day long right up until 6 o'clock. So you can win tickets for night number 1 straight up 10 o'clock with Kat Corbett. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Well, another rumor behind one of the biggest conspiracy theories of our time.
Okay.
This is shocking.
JFK?
On the 50th anniversary of the death of John F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
This information comes to light. O.J. Simpson could be Khloe Kardashian's dad.
Yay!
Now, that's been floated before, hasn't it?
It has, and she's poo-pooed it, and she said, oh, I'm not going to take a DNA test. I'm not going to give these people the satisfaction. However, this is interesting because O.J. Simpson's manager, Norman Pardo, who has not been known to be a man who throws around rumors lightly.
Okay. All right.
Claims that Khloe's mom, Kris Jenner, slept with OJ, and that he, not her ex-husband, Robert Kardashian, could easily be Khloe's dad.
Now, Robert Kardashian was one of OJ's lawyers.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. He said, it's all going to come out sooner or later, says Pardo to In Touch magazine. Khloe could be OJ's kid. Whenever I bring it up, he giggles, Pardo
really?
Said of OJ.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. I just try to be a good guy.
They all took vacations together. There was a lot of partying going on back then, says Norman Pardo. Kris cheated on Robert. She was known for having a good time.
Is that right?
Ralph, how does this math work out? I don't know how old Khloe is, but was she conceived about the time that Robert Kardashian was working for O.J. Simpson in the defense of the murder charge?
No, this is well before that.
So, in other words, O.J. and Robert Kardashian, O.J. and Kris Jenner may have known each other long before the murder.
Oh, they did. Kardashian and O.J. were very close friends long before he.
Oh, they were. I didn't know that.
Okay,
lawyer.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's
did
what
you
I
see that
know.
Video, right. That 30th birthday video that Kris Jenner does? Who's I love my friends.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember who shows up in that? Who turns around at the end of the video, wheels around?
No, is it O.J.?
O.J. Simpson.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
he's well represented in that.
So they go way back.
They were friends for many years before the murder.
All right.
Well, I think he's definitely Khloe's father then.
I agree.
All right. 100% science.
Well, just look at the face. Look at the faces, okay? Look at the...
Yeah.
If you're going just on an eye test, if you're looking just at genetics...
Yeah.
Look at Courtney and look at Kim and look at chlamydia and look at kleptomania, the one she had with Bruce.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then look at Khloe.
Khloe does look a lot like
OJ. One of
OJ.
These
I'm
things is not like the other.
Khloe is the only one who looks like she could play in the NFL.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. So this is according to OJ's manager. I'm just saying. It gives you pause, doesn't it?
Yeah. I want it to be true.
We all do. Speaking of Kris Jenner, apparently she's got a new boy toy. Us Weekly magazine says she's hanging out with Ben Flajnik.
Oh, Ben Flajnik does good work.
Now, you wouldn't know him. I, of course, do know him
because
Ben was one of the bachelors on The Bachelor.
He's the one with the terrible floppy hair, right?
The horrible hair, yeah. He was a winemaker who wore hair like he was at the Summer of Love, hanging out looking at the Grateful Dead in 1967. Just a horrible, just a bad, bad hairdo. Apparently, they are hanging out together. She thinks he's fun and hot. According to Us Weekly magazine, and he's got a soft spot for rich older ladies. So there you have it. Good times. Malin Ackerman and her husband are splitting up after a decade. They always seem like a happy couple. I guess you never know.
You never know.
They've been together for over a decade, and they're now splitting up. But early in their relationship, I found this fascinating. She used a English to Italian dictionary exclusively during their to communicate with him because he spoke no English, she knew no Italian.
How did they talk enough to get together?
Put this down on the list of potential Kevin and Bean phone conversations, but I would love to talk to our listeners who had relationships with people and they did not speak the same language with.
Huh.
I can see boning somebody, right?
Of course.
You know, you're in the... you know, Rome or something, and you meet some Italian guy at a club, and you know you have the universal language of
bone,
right? But a relationship, like going to dinner or spending time together, or just
that's weird.
That must be exhausting.
Totally.
Anyway, they're splitting up, so don't do it. Apparently, it doesn't work out.
Don't
well.
Do that.
That's what I'm trying to say. And congratulations to Amber Riley of Glee. She is this year's winner of the coveted Mirror Ball on Dancing with the Stars. The 17th season wrapped up after a year and a half of being on television. It's all said and done, so we can all go back to your homes now. Nothing to see here, people. Move along. Ron Burgundy's going to host a SportsCenter.
Love that.
Thursday, December the 5th, he will be one of the guest hosts of SportsCenter on ESPN. And don't forget, December 1st, to our Canadian affiliates, he will be doing the color commentary for the Lord of the Rings, the Roar of the Rings, it's called. Their big curling event there in Toronto, Canada.
I know it's a ridiculous sport to us, but to them, they take it pretty seriously.
They do, and he's going to be doing color commentary, and I guess he will not be taking it seriously.
That's correct.
That's my guess.
Say what?
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Allison Pill of Newsroom is 28 years old today. Female Oscar-winning director Catherine Bigelow is 62. I only couch it in that because she's the only female director ever to win the Oscar.
How about that?
Kidding.
TV personality Bill Nye. Well, think about it. There's not that many female
feature
directors to begin with. You know, you got Penny Marshall, I guess, probably.
She wasn't going to win an Oscar.
She wasn't going to win an Oscar. I mean, how many?
Barbara Streisand, I think, was nominated,
Streisand,
maybe.
Yeah. TV personality Bill Nye, 58 years old today. William Fichtner, brilliantly talented actor, is 57 years old. Actor Fisher Stevens is 50. Robin Givens, the former Mrs. Mike Tyson, 49 years old. Michael Vartan is 45. Kirk Acevedo from Fringe and Oz is 42. Charlton Copley from District 9 and from Elysium is 40. And Jaleel White, he was freaking Urkel.
Yes, he was.
Now he's 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you, Ralph. Speaking of which, we have 12 minutes left, about 11 minutes left for you to enter if you'd like to be Miss Double December. Cuts off at 10 o'clock this morning. You go to krock.com. You fill out the entry form. You put in a couple of pictures. And then on Monday, we're going to come back with the top 10.
Yeah, we will.
Be able to start voting for the top 10.
By voting, I mean this. You know what I mean, Kevin?
I know exact. Stop.